Casey is at the ready when I arrive. As I sit on the shaded bench, he moves immediately to his stone shelf seat with its rock shade overhang and gazes steadily at me, sniffing the air. I've had the chance to get to know a few gorillas, but I've never known one to stare at me like this, much less be okay with me staring right back. It's blazing hot this afternoon. No other visitors at the moment, and all the other gorillas off sleeping somewhere. Same with the orangutans in the enclosure behind me. Casey and I sit together in some kind of shared solitude, holding each other's eyes. I wonder where this is heading. After visiting with Casey, I'm about to hop on the number 11 bus back down Magazine when I see a bus heading the opposite direction. Who knows where? I cross the street and get on it. After 10 minutes or so, it turns past a village center. There's a crowd lined up under a big sign. 30th anniversary sale, 2 for 1. I get off the bus and join the crowd. What are we lining up for? 3 large women in big hats turn to stare at me.
Daiquiris, hun. What else? 2 for 1 takeout. Any size.
When we get to the front of the line, the 3 ladies order quart size, 2 each. I look at the rainbow of alcoholic flavors swirling in chillers on the wall, ask for a small of whatever is the least sweet, and just 1, please. I'm given 2. The big ladies swilling their quarts two-fisted are happy to take the other 1 off my hands and ask, do I know that the Dalai Lama is in town? I don't know this. But as I hop back on a bus, carrying a cocktail onto it for the first time in my life and feeling quite merry, it starts to seem like a good idea to find him. To my astonishment, I find the Dalai Lama a mere block from my hotel. But the security guard who stands in front of me with crossed arms says I'm too late. The event is sold out and almost over. Dejected, I wander back down to the main floor of the convention center. There's a group of people clustered around a roped-off area. Others sit about meditating. I don't want to meditate. I want to see the Dalai Lama. Or at least 1 of the Tibetan monks I've learned are here with him. Supposedly they've been crafting a mandala out of individual grains of colored sand for the past 3 days. Where the hell is it? A space opens up by the roped-off area. I step into it and gasp. There it is. The sand mandala. It's exquisite. 3 feet across and more intricate than I could possibly have imagined. We all stand silent, staring at it. An hour later, the Tibetan monks arrive. They perform a chant over the mandala. The sound is unearthly. Then it comes time for them to destroy their work, sweep the sand mandala into little bags. I didn't know this was coming, and the seemingly effortless destruction of their creation knocks me back like a hit to the chest. I close my eyes. Can't watch. More and more people have gathered. By the time the Tibetan monks are leaving with their bags of sand, 1,000 or so of us follow them into the street. Where are we going and why? I have no clue, but don't want to ask. A heavy police presence surrounds us, perhaps the tragedy of the Mother's Day second line parade still fresh in mind. Our procession makes its way to Mardi Gras World, through the warehouse where the floats are stored. It's more than a little strange, following the bobbing orange headdresses of the monks past 10-foot-tall princesses and tuxedo-clad bunnies, superheroes and gold statues of Buddha and all manner of other frozen-faced things. The monks' chant echoes through the space. We make our way to the Mississippi River, where the 1,000 or so of us stand witness as the monks scatter the remains of their sand mandala into the brown water rolling by, to send healing energy into the world. I make my way slowly back to my windowless white room and eat a sandwich.